Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Well, in the first half, we have Babylon Bee's editor-in-chief, Kyle Mann, going to go over some incredible Babylon Bee. Well, I would say fortuitous, prescient, I don't know, but soothsaying titles. We'll explain. Also, I'll tell you why the Flow Bee is racist, and we'll do all that right after this. Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
I'm Martin Cove,
Sensei John Kreese from the Cobra Kai TV series and the Karate Kid trilogy. And I'm hosting a new podcast, Cobra Cove, with my own kids, Rachel and Jesse Cove.
We're breaking down Cobra Kai episodes and talking about everything from pop culture to bullying and personal development.
With all kinds of great guests from the TV series, Hollywood, and the mental health world.
Listen to Cobra Coves now at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast One.
Do you have a problem with that?
No, Sensei!
I mean, Dad.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, editor-in-chief of the Babylon Bee, Kyle Mann, and comedian Eleanor Kerrigan, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, he's never been appointed a special master, but he has been called a special masturbator. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on a mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Fuck me. Let's leave.
All right. Well, the yearly Who's Getting Tossed Out of John Hamm's Roto League ceremony took place last night, so we'll have coverage of that.
We all wait for this all year.
Keep in mind, it's John Hamm, it's Bill Simmons, it's Sal, it's Damashek, Hench, it's all the usual suspects.
And being super hot doesn't save you. In fact, it could hurt you.
No, at the end, whoever wins gets to toss out anyone they want, which is devastating for these guys because it's they look forward to it all year. It's a big part of their lives.
Days before the season?
Well, that's the bump, right? That they
the bump
do it.
Is
you don't have time to join another league.
The day before the first NFL game or so, as close as they can get to it, they throw somebody out. And this is the difference between men and women. This is how men work this way. Not only does, you know, somebody could have paid $100, you know, or you could make it a monetary thing. Mm-hmm. But so what? John Hamm gives you $200. What?
Sure.
It's a 1 millisecond of a Mercedes VO that he did earlier in the week. You know what I mean? It's got to stink.
Yeah. It's got to hurt equally.
And throwing somebody out is painful. It's painful the person gets tossed. Now, remember, you win. I don't know. There are 8 guys,
yeah.
10 guys. You win. You pick whoever you want. And by the way, you can throw out the same person 5 years in a row. It doesn't much matter.
It would make sense if there's 13 guys for a 12-spot league. You'd want one guy out every year.
Mm. Yes. Mike right. August always goes there and chronicles it. Well,
but is he a competitor?
He
no.
Play.
Okay.
No, he eats.
Right.
And they compete.
Got
competitively.
It. Yeah.
They compete. He eats. Everyone wins.
Yeah.
And so he shows up and films it. And then in the past years, they had a Survivor-esque puzzle to solve,
that
which was the best.
Fucking awesome.
Because I think Sal picked
two
other guys
people.
To compete in a puzzle, but the puzzle spelled out
Damage
a third
check.
Person that got booted, which is genius. They had
didn't Freddie Lynn cameo last year?
Freddie Lynn did a they did a cameo with Fred Lynn, and he tossed out Simmons, I think, because Simmons is a yeah. huge Fred mm-hmm. Lynn fan, so he got his idol as a boy yeah. to toss him out of the league. This
painful.
Year, evidently, John Hamm won last year,
oh,
so
good.
Now he gets to decide.
Well, didn't Hamm get booted
yeah.
years ago?
Does he exact
He's
revenge?
He's been booted. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Mike, was he booted last year, Mike August?
Who? Oh, John Hamm? No.
No.
Several years ago he was booted, very hilariously, but not since then.
Where was this secret meeting? Are you able to divulge that?
Secret meeting was at the Kimmel Wheelhouse Extra Special West Hollywood former home of Betty Davis Palace.
Ooh, what?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means, but
oh,
all
yeah.
right.
What about the party house we go to in West Hollywood?
Oh, and everyone gathers. Oh, the party house.
Everyone gathers. Yeah, yeah.
And there's some discussion, and then it comes time to toss
right.
somebody, right?
Yeah, there's a tension in the room because everybody's, you know, like a cat on a hot tin roof. Who's it going to be this year? John Hamm's the reigning champ. He gets to make the pick. They sit down around the table, and sure enough, boy genius Dave Damashek is this year's, you know, excommunication and deserved it.
Well,
hugely. I mean, he walked into
it.
This hugely.
I thought we were going to look at the tape and yeah. have that reveal
the
who got
well,
tossed.
I can set it up.
Oh, you can
set
it up. Okay, but
because if you just see it, you won't get it. You got to know why.
Well, I saw a tape of John Hamm tossing out Damashek.
Yeah, but you don't know why he did it.
Okay.
Okay.
Find out.
Mike, you've been in show biz for a while, right?
I don't understand visuals versus audio. There's no setup.
No, I want to hear John Hamm.
You can see him getting tossed
okay.
out.
All right.
It's called setup in the business.
that's
maybe you've heard of it.
And then it's set up and then reveal.
I tell you why it happens. Then when you see it, you go, oh, wow, that's why it happened. I get it.
Okay.
That's not set up.
All right. I would have preferred to unveil.
We call it a ball tickle.
I'd like to. All right.
Well, go ahead and watch it and then ask me what happened.
Okay, we'll do that.
No need.
Now, spoiler alert, the guy tossed out is Dave Damashek. All right,
well,
here we go.
There's a bunch of guys at the table. It happens in 5 seconds.
Okay.
All right. I'd still prefer to have John say it, but all right, here we go.
Oh, wow. So we had to pick one person, and it's, how do you pick, right? You pick, what do you go, personal grievance? Like, the person that kicked me out, and you pick that guy? You pick the person that whose team repeatedly beat you in the World Series? Do you pick a couple options there?
Pick
the guy that maybe never pays his fucking dues. I don't know.
Brad.
How do you pick? At a certain point, you just have to pick the fucking guy who lost the goddamn trophy that my name is not on.
Come on.
No!
Damashek slams the computer down. finishes his beer.
Holy shit.
Oh, I could invoke. I could invoke my legal rights. I can't be kicked out for 5 years after my first. After
good luck with that. Lawyer.
John gets up.
The lawyer's not
gives
here.
Him a hug to escort him
oh,
out.
Oh man, that is an upset.
Oh, Shaq is Shaq
I'd
is upset.
Say 8-10 to 1. Somewhere
that's
there.
Sal.
Oh my god.
No.
Yeah.
And you have to leave immediately.
You have to leave.
Yeah.
Even better.
That's Dratch. That's Hench.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
So is the rule.
John, what are you looking at?
Leave the beer.
Leave the beer.
Is the rule that you must leave immediately or is that
yes.
protocol? Like just something.
I don't know that there's.
They always leave immediately.
You have to leave.
Okay.
You've been voted off the island. And they Shaq packed up his computer and his beer and he left.
Now, maybe August can shed a little light, too, on what John was referring to in terms of the trophy.
Yes.
No, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it.
I busted your chops. All right. Go ahead.
You have to understand. So 2 years ago, Dan Shaq is the winner of the league, right? And the league has a trophy. And it's a commemorative trophy, meaning that every year – the next winner gets the trophy, and you get to put your name on the plaque. So it's a cumulative list of the winners. It's the only tangible thing the league has.
Stanley
Cup. So Dave,
Cup.
Careless as he is, what?
Stanley Cup style, right?
Stanley Cup style, exactly. Mm-hmm. So Dave, careless as he is, throws the trophy in the back of his trunk, leaves it there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, gets in a car accident, and his car is crashed in the back and totaled. And what happens, as you know, if you've had a couple cars totaled, when they tow that car away, you never see that car again.
Yeah, that's that.
Right? You don't even know where it goes.
Yeah.
It disappears into, you know, Junklandia. You'll never, anything that's in that car, it gets crushed with that car. Dave didn't even remember that the trophy was there. And so now the trophy is gone. So it doesn't say anything, by the way, right? So then Ham wins the league last year. They have the Shakey's pizza party where they make the presentation, and when Dave is called upon to present the trophy, he suddenly remembers, oh, I don't have a trophy anymore. It's gone, and it's never coming back. It's a piece of memorabilia that will never, ever be found. And so that carryover is now why John Hamm tossed Dave Damashek out of the league, because you don't cheat John Hamm out of hardware, right?
No.
He doesn't have that much hardware.
Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't have enough Emmys.
Yeah, I listen.
Well, he's got probably five Emmys. He has an Oscar.
That's
now
true.
Now he can have a league championship trophy.
Now, not only first things first, this is like, you know, somebody will buy you a gift certificate or a sweater or something, and you throw it in your car and it rolls around in there, and then 4 months later you pick the person up. Your greatest nightmare is that thing floating around
with
in your
tag
car
still on
because it kind of shows you don't give a shit.
Yeah.
About them or the gift. So fact that it was rolling around in the trunk, not on the ride home from the ceremony, I'm guessing. It was probably several weeks or months rolling around in the trunk. Shows a blatant
disregard
for the sport of fake football.
Plus, there's a lesson to be learned because years ago, Dave, if you remember, got Garagos to write him a letter on another time that he won, exempting him from being kicked out going forward. He just got a unilateral letter that gave him a lifetime pass, a get-out-of-kick-out-free card, which nobody recognized, right, but him. So he thinks he can just act with impunity. He thinks, I can just throw the trophy in the back of the trunk, and if I lose it, I'm Teflon. Nobody can touch me. And John Hamm just proved otherwise. Dave's literally yelling about his letter as he's walking out the door last night.
I feel like he has bigger things to do than draft letters for Damashek about fairy tale football.
Yeah, it's a top 10. It's not top 3.
I see.
Priority.
Not according to Dave.
but it does show a certain laissez-faire because if I had this trophy, this is bigger, you know, look, and you could buy Mercedes or you could buy a Ferrari, but John Hamm can buy 30 Mercedes and 30 Ferraris. this trophy means something. There's a sanctity of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you let it roll around, and now it's gone. Now it is incumbent upon you to have a picture of the trophy and bring it into whatever the place is that makes the trophies and go, I need an exact knockoff of this trophy because I shall be presenting it to one John Hamm in several weeks. Showing up empty-handed.
Doesn't sound like Dave Damaschek.
But
tie his shoe.
But to be,
you think he's going to go out and get a replica of a trophy that he's going to fool everybody with?
Well,
it's
kind of on you though, because Hamm is going to want you to present it to him, and you're going to be empty-handed. It's not like you can forget about it. That's looming. All right, so a little window into
Shaq. This is why he wouldn't even come to the phone today. Nor will he ever.
He's too angry.
It's a shame that
we're desperately trying to join another league.
He's angry, but he should be ashamed. That's
a very good lesson.
Most everyone I know who's angry should be ashamed. That's what I want to say. It goes from homeless people to family members. Those who are angry should let some shame wash over you first. All right. Thank you for the update, Mike.
On a side note, you will be very excited to know that Brad, your favorite attendee of Sunday football, had not one but two medical episodes since last year and is just in incredible form for the 2022 season. I predict there's going to be some incredible events coming
Brad.
He was in rare form. I literally thought he had a heart attack halfway through the
Brad shows up, eats everyone else's food. But the biggest sticking point I have with Brad is literally adhesion. He doesn't. Everyone else drinks a beer or a cocktail. He drinks Hawaiian Punch or High C or some other weird, bizarre 8-year-old version of some sort of. When's the last time you've seen an adult drink punch?
Never.
I'm sure it's still sold.
Now, he drinks the stickiest liquid on the planet and has trouble controlling his arms. So he's like
flails.
Well, he's one of these guys. Like, you guys know these guys where they're like, I know many of these guys. They're like standing at your shop. They're in the kitchenette and they're eating a hoagie and it's just kind of like dripping on the floor and they're just sort of standing there like talking to you. And then at some point, they'll put the hoagie in their hand and start gesturing.
Waving
like,
it.
You ever see that movie Braveheart? Mel Gibson's up on that horse. It's like, and I'm like following the thing. I'm like, did you get a napkin or something? It's just. And then they do this thing where they go, I didn't see the mayonnaise.
My 6-year-old.
Yes, this is what 6-year-olds do. Brad gets the can of wine punch. He starts gesticulating and swinging his arms. It's slopping everywhere. Oh. It's the next day.
Ants.
You will lose a shoe. You could walk on to that in fucking lineman boots laced up to your shin, and you step over it, the boot remains. Your foot will fucking slide right out of it like an NFL guy making a hard cut. It's like it's sticky
and bugs love
everywhere.
Hawaiian punch.
And I'm like, Brad, you can be here. You can drink Hawaiian Punch or High C. You just have to clean up. You can't slop it all over the place.
Give him a sippy cup.
You're going to love this development. And I don't even know how it's possible because he's a relatively young man. Somehow he now has dentures.
Uh-uh.
And he went in the ocean last week and got hit by a wave and they knocked out his dentures. And so now he's got that weird sucking thing, you know.
More fruit punch on the floor. That's all.
Is coming out on both sides of the mouth.
That's all I
mean,
hear.
He is going to be a champion this year in your new warehouse. Just a champion of edibles and drinkables.
Big white Carrera marble floor. Oh, Jesus Christ! All right, I'm going to go get some grout sealant. Mike, thanks for the update. As per usual.
Hook them tight this weekend.
Yeah.
Roll horns. We're going to be there.
All right. Yeah, we're going to be at the game, which is My Brain is Better Than Your Google should be the name of this next segment because Chris is pumped. We're going to the game. We're going to Alabama-Texas game when we're out there in Austin. And so we're talking about the game. Scott, one of our friends, is going to be out there. The Grizz is going to be out there. Look, great hang. Great guy to have a beer with. I'm pumped. So I go, what time's the game start?
Uh-oh.
Chris goes, 9 a.m. No. And I go,
bright and early.
No.
9 a.m. I checked. I said,
oh, he's screaming,
screaming
in there.
I checked.
Oh,
9 a.m. I checked. I said, maybe there's some TV coverage time.
Game day starts at 9
East Coast or something. I said, no, I checked. I said, what's the time difference between here and there? The 2 hours. Mm-hmm. I said, I bet it's 11.
Yeah. It's R9.
It's not, it's R9. And he checked, and it is. So there it is. Now, he didn't argue with me. But I'm saying,
I'm very different.
Here's what I'm saying.
Literally.
Nah, just when he checked. But the point is your brain will beat Google if you just sort of go, they're not starting a game like this at 9 a.m.
It's too early.
They're not.
He's, I don't know who he's talking to. He's talking in there.
Right. The point is
Chris, did you have thoughts?
You knew. Here's the deal. Brian, you knew the game didn't start at 9.
No,
I knew the game didn't start at 9.
I assumed the game wouldn't start at 9.
You can glean all this stuff through experience in life. But there's always outliers like TV coverage or some version of something.
So occasionally there'll be an NFL game in London, right?
Right,
like
right.
You see the Jaguars and someone. And, yeah, that'll be at 9 a.m.
Right.
But can I tell you one thing that you will be missing at the game? Hmm. I'm sorry to say. The million-dollar band from Alabama will not be there.
What?
You want to know why? Take a look at that picture. Ben put it up. So you see that little crowd of people way up at the top of the nosebleeds of the stadium?
Yes.
That's where Texas puts the opposing team's band.
That's pretty common.
I like it.
And they get like 500 tickets or 400 tickets or something, and they put them way at the top. And the million-dollar band apparently does not take kindly to this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, you know what? Fuck it. We're not going. And we don't have enough tickets because there's like 500 people in the band. It's way at the top. It's not worth their time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Good to know. Yes, Dawson.
Yeah, this is pressing. I can't be the only one who heard August say hook 'em tied.
Isn't it Roll Tide?
This is its Roll Tide, Hook 'em Horns. But this is the great mystery of Mike August. He bets on college football all the time. He can't possibly not know this. But then again, it's Mike August. Could he be saying Hook 'em Tide?
If you go back and listen to the game tape, he also said Roll Horns. He did it intentionally.
Okay, it wasn't intentional. I missed that part.
In this part, thank I God. The
in a, in a Poe Buddy's nerfect kind of
yes,
way.
Yes.
Okay.
He knows
college.
Then it was just his
football.
Great... His great radio comedy skills shining to light.
Yeah. I love the fact that I couldn't explain to him why we wanted John Hamm to reveal who he threw out versus him, which I thought
that's
was
kind
a key
of the idea
that.
Of every video.
It's kind of the idea of almost all show business, yeah. If you kind of think about it, since the days of old Greece.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for letting me get that out.
We got that. All right. Then there got some hot Flowbee talk.
Oh, boy.
There's something out of the University of Minnesota Medical School. Remember, it seemed like only yesterday I was saying, what happened to Paul Bunyan and Bud Grant
literally
in Minnesota?
Yesterday.
When did you guys turn into the most wokest pussies on the planet? They do their white coat ceremony. This is, I guess, graduation for doctors
right,
to be,
grad
people that are
maybe.
Leaving medical school.
Because doctors wear white coats.
Yes, or entering medical school. And they have a pledge that they now have cooked up that these are all physicians or budding physicians.
Yeah,
yes.
So this is the class oath that was written by the students in consultation with their faculty advisors.
So if we're ready, with gratitude,
this the oath.
We, the students of the University of Minnesota Twin Cities Medical School class of 2026, stand here today among our friends, families, peers, mentors, and communities who have supported us in reaching this milestone.
Okay.
Our institution is located on Dakota land. Today, many indigenous people throughout the state, including Dakota and Ojibwe, call the Twin Cities home. We also recognize this acknowledgement is not enough. We commit to uprooting the legacy and perpetuation of structural violence deeply embedded within the healthcare system. We recognize inequities built by past and present traumas.
All right, hold on. There's
supremacy.
Structural violence that's built into the medical healthcare system.
Why wouldn't the architectural school or the engineering school do this? What are they supposed to do about what land they're on?
Oh, Now we're getting into the structural violence that's in the system.
Never heard that.
I thought these guys were doing no harm.
Yeah. Well, as we know, violence has sort of meandered away from the original definition.
All right, sorry, you can continue.
Rooted in white supremacy.
Oh, you got to rewind it. Now it's rooted in white supremacy.
Past and present traumas. Medicine. Rooted in white supremacy, colonialism, the gender binary, ableism, and all forms of oppression. As we enter this profession with opportunity for growth, we commit to promoting a culture of anti-racism, listening, and amplifying voices for positive change. We pledge to honor all indigenous ways of healing that have been historically marginalized by Western medicine. Knowing that health is intimately connected to our environment, we commit to healing our planet and communities. We vow to embrace our role as community members and strive to embody cultural humility. We promise to continue restoring trust in the medical system and fulfilling our responsibilities as educators and advocates. We commit to cooperating with social, political, and additional systems to advance health equity.
Yeah. All right.
What do we clock that at?
Fucking my radar detector says boring as shit. Also, just fucking keep going, idiots. It's you're fucking up. First off, you don't want a bunch of lemmings as doctors. We just fucking ran into that with COVID. We had a bunch of fucking scared people who didn't want to try out alternative forms of medications because you guys scared the fuck out of them because they're indoctrinated into your fucked up weird cult about, you know, structural racism. And it is weird. It's very Orwellian, the like repeat after me. Yeah. I'm assuming everyone who wants to be a doctor just wants to help other people and get paid for it. This commitment to the indigenous people in the land, and then they have to respect the indigenous people's medical practices. So, you know, if I want to give you chemo, but you want to rub tree bark on your asshole, I have to step back and respect that, or you want
to
rub some beads or something. What the fuck? Woo! This feels... We've come a long way in a short period of time in this world. And that's why normal people need to stand up and go, what the fuck are you talking about? And shut up. And also, this thing where we're constantly beating everyone over the head with the systemic and structural racism that it affects the environment, infects the hospital, everything is like... This thing of trying to talk every young person into the fact that we live in this heinous racist society, is there something good that comes out of the other end of that?
More tolerant healthcare? I mean, what does that even mean? Like, is healthcare intolerant?
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, I'm all for, you know, when we talk about an education or anywhere, feel free to say, we recognize the past, we learn from the past, we keep moving forward. But when you drag the past to the present and graft it on, it just seems disingenuous because it's different. It's not happening.
Also, look, they just had this thing, and we were talking about it, I think, or maybe I was talking about it with Mark, but D.C., Marion Bowser didn't want the mayor didn't want to reopen schools to people who weren't vaccinated. And then she found out that 40% of the people that were black children weren't vaccinated. And then she realized now this is structural racism because you're taking this large group of people who are of one color. You're not permitting them to go to school. And then she's saying no hybrid, nothing. Just you get vaccinated, you don't show up. And maybe she's backed off of that because the optics were explained. I do always like the idea. First things first. We have this notion of like where people go like, I want everyone to wear a mask. And then everyone in L.A. goes, oh, fuck that. And then they go, all right, don't wear a mask. Well, is it a pandemic or isn't it? Mm. Like you go, OK, LAX, everyone's got to show their ID and they're not going through security. And then someone goes, well, you know, a higher percentage of black people don't have an ID. You don't go, oh, well, then fuck it.
Yeah,
you go, it's security. Like,
how,
it's a pandemic or it's not. It's either dangerous for kids to return to school without being vaccinated or it's not. You don't get to fucking lick your finger and go, who's this affecting? Like, what's the optics? How bad How bad a pandemic is it if you go, nobody comes back up until they get vaccinated? And then someone goes, you know, it's 40% of black kids. And you go, oh. Oh,
never mind.
Oh, never mind.
Door's open.
Well, never mind. Never mind at LAX with the metal detector. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's a fucking rule. You want to fly or don't fly. It's not, it's unsafe not to check ID at the airport, but this is, this has a lot of movement in it. It can go and flow.
Let's talk about the initial movement, the biggest wave of them all. Do you know how bizarre it was doing news in Market 2 during the summer of 2020 saying COVID, 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 lockdown, 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 another giant gathering tonight in downtown LA, another giant gathering in Washington, D.C. It was very surreal to report those things at the same time.
Yeah, well, that's where I lost it with Fauci, because Fauci wouldn't say that's a bad idea. He just said large gatherings were bad ideas. Then somebody, Rand Paul or somebody, said, well, what about Black Lives Matter? He's like, why are you asking me? I don't have any thoughts about that. It's like, all right, well, now you're political, and now I don't have to listen to everything you say. But then you get into this, all right, 40% of black kids in the D.C. area, 40% plus in this age group, are not vaccinated. Is that systemic racism? Is that medical racism? What is that?
We don't know.
You got a black mayor. Everyone's black. It's very progressive. The word's out. How much easier could you make it to be vaccinated? So then, at a certain point, who's that on? Like, I know everything is just it's just a more systemic racism. Right. It's like, or they choose not to be vaccinated. Is that kind of on them at a certain point?
Well, the precedent exists, right? You have to, Gina, you probably know, I know, Tessa couldn't enroll in school without getting her vaccination.
Right.
Measles, mumps, whatever.
Right.
Like, the precedent is there. You've already established that this is the barrier to entry. Yeah. A very flimsy
If your vaccinations aren't up to date, you don't go back in.
Right. So whose fault is it if this group chooses not to be vaccinated? Is that the MAGA hat wears? Like, whose fault is it?
At this point, it's a good question.
Well, I would argue it's their fault, and they choose not to do it. And you can then look into those reasons, but you can't blame the system. You have to go find out why they don't want to get vaccinated and then talk them into it. Yeah. That's how it works. All right. So that was crazy and scary and Orwellian. Now, hot Floby talk.
Oh, boy.
Stromer came in here earlier. He's beautiful. Don't hate him.
He's a specimen.
And he's got the beautiful flowing locks, you know, the beautiful blonde locks.
Yeah.
And talking about used to get his hair cut at a place in Chicago called Sonny and Shears.
Oh, very clever. My God.
Yeah. And he said, where do you
I got pomade.
He said, where do you get your hair cut? And I said, anything that ends with the word cut.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I could go super cut. Right. I go sports cut. I go cheap cuts. Whatever. Right. Whatever. It has to. You know, I stay in hotels that end with the word roof. And then I get my haircut place that ends with the word cuts.
Yeah.
And whatever's closest, wherever I am, wherever I move to. And then he asked if I've ever done the Floby. And I said, no, because I've been culturally marginalized by the Floby. Mm. I said, you got the curly hair. Blacks can't use the Floby.
Mm.
Guys with the Jew flow cannot use the Floby. And I said, go find a Floby commercial. You'll see everyone. Beautiful flowing locks.
Right, right.
There is no black man in that commercial. There's no Jew fro in that Floby commercial. The hair must
flow.
How would
that even work?
Into the bead. Does not work. And then I thought, you know, I didn't know how culturally divisive the Floby was. And then I thought, let's think back on the best TV show of my childhood. Welcome Back, Cotter.
Oh.
Only one cast member, only one sweat hog, including Mr. Cotter himself, could avail himself and use a Floby.
John Travolta?
That's right.
Yeah.
Show me the cast.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Kinky.
It's only Travolta. Only one out of five of the sweat hogs, including Mr. Cotta, could use the Floby.
Oh.
And I thought, man, that is a bad batting average. And I never really thought about the racist overtones of the Floby. But I think in a world where shoes can be racist and, you know, whiteboards or blackboards can be racist, I would say the Floby could be racist.
Yeah.
You know, justice moves slowly, but finally we're here where we can call the Floby out.
Yeah, I'm calling them out.
Take a look. Take a real close look at this picture and notice that all of the white guys are going, "Hey, what do you want from me?" Yeah. And the one black guy is going, "I'm the black guy."
Yeah, that's his inner monologue. You're right.
So then I thought, what would be the best cast for Flo-Bee? I think Full House off the top of my head. I think that's a pretty good Flo-Bee cast.
Strong.
Yeah, I was.
Now the problem is no woman has ever used a Flo-Bee. They show them using the Flo-Bee in the commercial. I've not yet met the woman.
No,
there's two women I haven't met. I have not met the woman who would use a Flo-Bee.
Right.
I've not met the woman who stands front and center at the Home Depot paint counter while the guy is two steps back. What the guy does at the paint counter is he does what sidewinder kickers do in the NFL. You take two big steps back and one step to the left, and that's where he stands while she's pointing at all the paint sticks and swatches and whatnot. And I thought deep dive, but the cast of 80s detective show Riptide was a good Flo-Bee. Good Flo-Bee cast.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. You never heard of Riptide? It looks like a made up 80s cop show. It was, I think, good looking dudes with the one nerd guy and they lived on a boat.
Okay.
I was Riptide.
Cool.
It's hard to imagine why I didn't stand the test of time.
I have one. Wait, is that supposed to be like an alien at the bottom?
I don't know how that worked out.
I have a suggestion for the cast that could use the Flo-Bee. Let's stay in the 80s. Let's hop on over to Family Ties. A lot of shiny hair. I have sent Ben a picture, but very shiny hair on Family Ties.
Well, look for that. Family Matters, maybe the worst.
Oh, you're absolutely right. They don't have Meredith Baxter Burney.
Yeah, now you can't go Good Times. You can't go the all black
cast.
That's
the point.
That's the point. Has there ever been a black man who's used a Flo-Bee? I mean, maybe
Al Sharpton.
Yeah, maybe Al Sharpton.
Oh, Ed with the press.
Maybe Cat
Little Richard. Oh, Cat Williams.
Cat Williams. You know what I mean? I don't think. I think that would get gummed up. Yeah. I don't think
Lenny Kravitz would have the best chance.
Half black.
At a Flo-Bee.
Yeah.
I don't feel like his hair would
could
work.
Get Zoe long Kravitz. Enough, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. There's structural racism in the medical community and in the Flo-Bee community.
It's everywhere. It's high time somebody said something.
Is what I'm saying.
By the way, if you're going to go to a salon, you know what it really should be called? Cut and dry. You know, just cut and dry.
There's got to be one.
There has to be.
But still good.
Thanks.
All right. Let me tell you about Keeps. Over 50 million men in the U.S. experience male pattern baldness. You want to be able to use that Flo-Bee, man. In most cases, hair loss can be prevented and treated. Keeps, a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. Convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months in discreet packaging, 24/7 care and support. Keeps has a network of expert medical advisors, prescribers, and specialists as well. Low cost starts at just $10 per month. Treatment plans are typically half the cost of the pharmacy prices. Prevention is key. Treatment can take 4 to 6 months to see results. So act fast and get going with Keeps. Right, Dawson?
If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to KEEPS.com/Adam to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/Adam to get your first month free. KEEPS.com/Adam.
Well, the most popular satire news website in the world is something called the Babylon Bee, and editor-in-chief Kyle Mann is going to be in studio right after this. You rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Let me tell you about concrete. Oh, yeah. Concrete. Creatine, man. Your body makes about half the creatine it needs. The other half comes from your diet. But most American diets are low in creatine-rich foods. Concrete. Patented creatine, HCL, is the favorite creatine of elite, well-informed athletes. Take it every day. Dr. Drew takes it every day. It's got a nice little lemony flavor to it. And it gives you that boost energy. You'll feel it immediately. It's the number one bioavailable creatine and the only microdosing creatine. Just one small scoop per 100 pounds of your body weight. Shake it up and drink it down. Creatine is required for functional energy in every cell. Your brain uses about 20% of the creatine in your body. Your immune system cells need it, and heart cells, lung cells. It is concrete. Right, Dawson?
Take control of your health, both body and mind. Build a better you with Concrete. Register now at con-cret.com/podcast. That's con-crete.com/podcast for a chance to win a $500 Walmart Visa gift card, available now online and in-store at Walmart. Concrete is truly life-changing and performance-enhancing. In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
There are phrases we use every day without a second thought. Now we're giving them more than a second thought. Watch what happens when I tell people what basket case really means. It was first used during World War I to describe a person who had lost all four of their limbs and had to be carried in a basket.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
A little darker than I thought.
A basket case.
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Kyle Mann, editor-in-chief, Babylon Bee, has joined us. BabylonBee.com is where you go. Good to see you, Kyle.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
We was talking before the show about some of the Babylon Bee satire that sort of quickly became reality.
Yeah, the fulfilled prophecies, we call it.
Yeah, and it always strikes me, I brought it up a few times, but some of the stuff that's going on today would seem like satire, not 20 years ago, but 18 months ago. And the one that always strikes me is the one where Prager says that the ACLU or somebody wants to cancel the lowercase t because it looks like a cross. And I go, that sounds nuts, but it doesn't sound nuts if you heard that story today. So now Babylon Bee is tasked with coming up with satire, but people must be getting confused because we're in that place now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so difficult to write satire in 2022 because you're not just trying to come up with something funny. You're trying to come up with something that people aren't actually going to do next week,
right?
Or haven't already done last week.
Well, we have some examples of stuff that happened. Now, you know, if you wait 10 years, everything's going to happen. But some of these examples that Dawson has are Babylon Bee headlines, and then the reality happened days later.
From September 21st, 2021, the Babylon Bee said, Border Patrol loses horse privileges. Must now bang two empty halves of coconuts together.
Funny.
2 days later, the White House says border officials in Del Rio will no longer use horses.
Oh, half true.
That whole story to me just sort of encapsulates this moment and everything that's wrong with this moment, that Border Patrol whipping Haitians. It's weird because there's certain things I guess we're all wired a little differently, but there's certain things that just fucking bug the shit out of you that doesn't seem to bother. And then there's your version of what bothers you. That story kills me because the Border Patrol were A, doing their job, and we turned it into whipping Haitians. And then every fucking politician got up there and said, the shades of the South, you know, and it's like, first off, it was so discernible. They had photographs. The person that took the photographs said he wasn't doing it. This is information that's gettable. And then you spin it into this crazy, you know, still in the grips of racism thing. And then we attack the guys who are doing their job trying to protect our fucking border. And then we do the knee jerk where we cancel the horses, which is like, shouldn't you wait and see if they did it? But no, we're just going to cancel that. And then later on, when they're cleared, we go, not done with them, because we don't want any egg on our face. So we'll have to find some administrative thing that they did to say that they were disciplined, even though they're not going to be disciplined for what we said they did. And also then, how about the guys that are saying they're whipping Haitians on a horse like they're some plantation master or something? It's like, you ever think about them, like in their fucking family? Like that. You don't care? Does this just call everyone a racist? And those guys are probably going to sue everybody, I'm guessing. But it's a really weird, ugly thing that we took people that were trying to do something for this country, threw them under the bus and call them racist, and then agitated everybody. It's also sort of the end of journalism. Like, ladies of the View, you're allowed to look at pictures and go, eh, nothing to see. You don't all have to jump in and like, these guys are racist.
Or but it's the, such, you go ahead.
The picture's provocative. By all means, do a little more research.
Well,
dig.
And that's the thing. I mean, of course you don't have to do it, but it's such a slam dunk. It's such low-hanging fruit. Here's 5 seconds.
It was
like the kid with the on the steps in D.C. who got a big payout.
It's that. It's Kyle Rittenhouse. But here's my whole point. Why? Okay, it's low-hanging fruit. Like, here's an opportunity. Why is the president of the United States looking for opportunities to make this country more racist? That's my bigger question. Yes, it is easy for Al Sharpton. But what about Biden? Why is he looking for an opportunity? You were supposed to get everyone back together. Remember that discussion back in the day? We're going to heal. We're going to come back together.
That's why you were voted in?
Also, they can't hire cops. I don't know if they're going to be able to hire Border Patrol guys anymore. Like, who would take this job anymore? You know what I mean? Who would want to do this job?
Like the Minutemen job specifically?
Yeah, now that you can't whip Haitians.
Border Patrol.
Yeah.
Like, would you sign? My kid, if he said, I want to be a cop in Chicago or go work for the Border Patrol, I'd go, fuck that. Get a job at Color Me Mine. Call it a fucking life. I'm sorry, Dawson. You got me fired up.
In March of this year, the Babylon Bee reported that Amy Schumer is horrified to learn that you can now get slapped for bad jokes. 3 days later, Amy Schumer alludes to taking a month break after being traumatized by Will Smith slapping Chris Rock at the Oscars.
Wow. That's oddly specific, too.
Xi Jinping criticizes Trudeau's heavy-handed approach. That was a Babylon Bee headline in May of this year.
Funny.
8 days later, actual news, China slams Canada over Hong Kong and Ottawa protests.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Prescient.
Surviving inflation from the Babylon Bee. 9 easy ways to save money on your Thanksgiving this year. 10 days later, NBC suggests not having Thanksgiving turkey this year to deal with inflation costs.
Can I say this? I'm putting that up there with the news stories now. Like, how are you going to beat the heat? However the fuck I want, bitch. I've got it figured out. We're fine. I understand things. When you're in your car, roll down the windows.
What?
Okay, what else?
Slow down.
Let me put a little laminate in my wallet. Figure this one out. Drink water.
2 words, wet washcloth.
Yeah, it's like they do this thing where it's like Thanksgiving, that those mashed potatoes have gone up 31 cents. Like, all right, I'll either eat them or I won't. I'll have a, you know, we'll have a kitchen table discussion with no food on it.
Right.
And I will discuss with my family whether we can afford giblets this year. Jesus Christ, I know. And by the way, the tip of how to survive Thanksgiving and save a few bucks. Don't eat turkey. That's up there with the hangover. I got to remember, don't drink.
Right.
Okay, well, that's a non-starter.
That's
you know
nice.
The best way to not get an STD?
That's right. Partial to what I want to do.
Saying remove items from your table that you really want for Thanksgiving. I get it. It's a money saver. You know?
Yeah.
Best way to save on travel?
Don't travel.
Do not leave the apartment. That is the best way. Sorry, Dawson.
The Babylon Bee headline read, Democrats vow to follow the science of whichever union donates the most money.
That's good.
They did that in February of 2021.
That is a fucking good one.
3 months later, powerful teachers union influenced CDC on school reopenings, emails show.
Oh, now there's more emails of the LA Unified. Remember the heroes? The heroes have emails.
They hate you.
Out there saying, find the dissenters and fuck them up. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Chris can find. Have you heard of that story, Kyle?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Wild. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's how it works.
Yeah.
It's like, it's one. Look, there's two ways you got to oppress. One is you make the decree. No walking on the beach. And then the other is you got to take down the people who disagree with you.
Way,
that's who it is. So the heroes at LA Unified wanted to go after the parents that wanted to keep the schools open.
Oopsie.
Awesome. Let's go ahead. Just
good job putting it in writing.
Call them racist. Yeah, where is that? They email somewhere. Chris can find it. Anyway.
Babylon Bee said, Lego unveils new genderless bricks with no male-female connectors. 5 months later, Lego commits to removing gender bias and harmful stereotypes from its toys.
There you go.
Oh. Are all stereotypes harmful? Like, why is that? Why is a stereotype? I mean, I don't know. Germans are fast drivers.
Podcasts,
you know what I mean?
Have huge dicks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tale as old as time.
Black people got faster than white people. Is it all harmful?
Yes, some of those I sure hope they keep around for my benefit.
I'd like a few of those. Sorry. You done, Dawson?
There's a couple more.
All right.
The Babylon Bee called this one weird. Many Southwest planes flying banners reading, "Let's go, Brandon." 19 days later, Southwest pilot is heard telling passengers, "Let's go, Brandon," at the end of the flight.
Oh, out the
my
pulse.
God.
It's pretty close.
There's going to be, I haven't been to a college football game in Texas in a while, but there's going to be some Let's Go Brandon chance out there.
It is Austin, but for sure.
Yeah.
It is Austin. That is true. But it's sort of the San Francisco.
They draw shit kickers from all over the state.
They will. There'll be some Let's Go Brandons. All right. One more, Dawson.
In March of 2021, the Babylon Bee read, "For convenience, vaccine passport can now be tattooed on your hand or forehead." 5 months later, inked up, man gets tattoo of COVID-9 vaccine QR code on his arm.
Smart.
So Babylon Bee, what is the physical process? Like, do you guys, seems like a job you could do from outside the office.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, we got a lot of writers all over the country who pitch things electronically, but we've also got a local office in Southern California where we do a lot of writing and punch up, you know, for some of our comedy sketches or, you know, working out a headline, stuff like that. So.
Is there an avenue like, I guess famously, I don't know if everyone did it, but I think Jay Leno would take jokes for his monologue. Like, mm-hmm. people would send him in.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd use them, he'd pay him, or he wouldn't use them.
Right.
Is there...
Letterman, SNL did that, yeah.
Did like Letterman do that?
Yeah. Sure, yeah. Well, we actually have people that subscribe to our website. They have a mm-hmm. special inbox for those because we get thousands. You know, ever since the Babylon Bee launched, every day you get hundreds and hundreds of those headline submissions. And they're mostly not good, you know.
Mm. Well, and like The Onion always said, what people don't understand is like, that, you know, in the writer's room, that was a brilliant headline. Why did it make it? It's a headline. What do we do with the actual story?
You know, it's something that has to be developed. There's so many considerations. Like, there's been all these websites like The Onion for years. So you got to, you know, filter out the ones that have already been done. You know, maybe there's something that's a good joke, but it's not the right timing for it. So, you know, the joke writing process, it's all of those fun considerations.
I think I was the butt of an Onion headline.
Ooh.
Yes.
I think you were.
That's good.
I think it was a parasite that rejected me.
regretted choosing you as a host.
Oh, that's
good.
This
is 10 years old. Yeah. This is 10 years old.
Parasite regrets choosing Adam Carolla as host. Strong headline.
What year's that from?
That's from 2006.
06?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's funny.
Why the hate? What was I doing? I was just doing a fucking morning radio show.
What's like, guys, man? Come on. That's a moment.
It's a tip of the cap.
Yeah.
It's like...
It's an honor. That's good.
It's like being roasted by Don Rickles. But still, you do stop every once in a while and go, well, they didn't construct this out of nothing.
Yeah, what
like,
the fuck?
I needed to be a person that was not worthy of a parasite.
Do you want to hear the first paragraph?
Yeah, because
are you sure?
I do.
No,
but here's the thing too. There was a time when one would have to kill a family member or set a church on fire or something. Now it's just douchebag.
He's out
the
there.
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah, in the radio. Yeah,
right.
Say mean things on the radio.
This is about a hookworm. It says, just 2 weeks after settling on Adam Carolla as its next host, a Los Angeles area hookworm whose life cycle depends on the performance of the comic's personality's digestive system said it is beginning to question Carolla's ability to stay fresh and produce consistent quality nutrients on a daily basis.
Wow.
Ouch. Wow. God damn. Wait, I think we have a...
Well, let me say this, the Onion bitches.
We have a quote from the hookworm.
You guys crap out a three... you know, a three-word phrase. I do fucking 4 hours of morning radio every day. That's a lot of content there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't take much to be a decent host. You just have to sit there, generate a couple cell lines every few minutes, and let me systematically tunnel my way through your internal organs, said the Necator Americanus hookworm. I've been trying to suck the life out of Adam, but it's difficult when there's absolutely no life to work with. God damn!
That's mean.
He means spirited. I don't like it.
I'm amused by it, but it's
you
still,
must have said something during the show because it references the morning
this
show.
This is in the Ching Chong.
Oh, is it the Ching Chong?
No,
thing?
I'm joking. It would have been that year, but who
that was Damashek. The point is it is interesting.
Yeah, what did you say that was like, controversial in 2006?
Well, I don't know, but that wouldn't be no life.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand the connection that they're
also,
making.
Also, I was a P1 listener, and I don't remember this bit. The hookworm first came into contact with Corolla during his morning radio program while Corolla was handling human fecal matter as part of a popular recurring segment on his show, which I think is probably a joke.
I stood next to Adam the entirety of that run of radio. I don't remember handling human fecal matter.
Yeah, I think they've gone off the trail a little bit.
Yeah, the
on
copy went off the rails a
Who
little bit.
Who wrote there. This article? Let's see what's become of them.
They don't they don't put bylines.
Yeah. Oh, cowards.
We don't do bylines either.
Of course.
Cowards!
All of you!
Well, I guess nowadays you'd get doxed,
you canceled,
right?
Or something, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Kyle, do you have a background in writing or comedy? Or
just,
what would you call
just mostly just Babylon Bee, yeah. I was in like construction sales and started doing this on the side. Damn. And I was writing 3 or 4 headlines a day, just firing it off, and I liked it so much more. So I quit my job and started doing this full time.
Did you get approached by someone from the Bee? Or?
Well, I just started open submitting headlines the day that the Babylon Bee launched. So I started doing it, yeah.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, just show up. I mean, you didn't physically
or
go to the office, but I just mean start handing people stuff. People in positions of power and in charge of hiring and the boss man, if they find somebody who can do something for them, like somebody who's good, like you could
makes their life easier.
You could own an auto body place. If you find a guy who really knows how to handle that spray gun and lay down a coat of lacquer, it's like, oh, but ga. They will grab you. They will find you. Like, that's how it works. Like, just submit and let them grab you, because that I don't people always want to know kind of like what's the route, you know, should we go take college things and do this? And it's like, just start submitting stuff. Just start showing up.
Yeah. You got the sound effects down.
That's right.
We got quite a few people that have come through to the Babylon Bee that way, because it just kind of creates this thing, like we're doing this alternative comedy thing. And you just have people that have that same sense of humor just gravitate towards it. We get people that are like disaffected writers in Hollywood that
come
over because they can't. They got to be in the closet in Hollywood. They can write conservative stuff over here. So
yeah, you can't. I mean, you could. The thing about Hollywood these days is if you're conservative, you couldn't write for a progressive show or even any show, even if your writing was good in that department.
As long as you keep your mouth shut, you're okay.
Keep your mouth shut. You'll be okay.
Well, wasn't that Dennis Miller's advice to up-and-coming comics? Like, just keep your mouth shut.
I know. I love the advice to writers and comics is keep your mouth shut.
Don't express yourself.
It is. I tell you, I've been on a TV set recently, and they're scared shitless. And there was a lot of keep your mouth shut. It's weird. It's sad. Now, listen. I wouldn't care if these dipshits never stopped bloviating about oppression and folks having a voice and alternative this and a seat at the table and an honest discussion on X, Y, or Z or McCarthyism and the dark days of McCarthyism. If you hypocrite blowhards never stopped bloviating about that, I could tolerate you. But you simultaneously say that and then want everyone fired who disagrees with you. That's insane. It's insane that it's tolerated, but people are scared.
It's tolerance or else, which is a very strange idea.
Yes. Tolerance on my terms.
Yes. But did we get, you know, I had this theory about this. I can't remember if I got into it. But if you're good, you can tell these people to go pound sand. And if you're in the middle, like 92% of the population, you got to shut up. Well, that's how it is.
It makes the left a really good target for comedy, you know, and that's where we find a lot of our material, is you have these people who control all of the cultural institutions and 98% of the TV shows and comedy outlets, and they think that they're like these oppressed people on the fringes and marginalized. And
yes.
It's great for comedy.
Well, and it used to be easy, I would think, to sort of lampoon conservatives because you're the stiff one and you have all these rules. And it's, but you're right. It has completely flipped off. Who's the stiff, you know, tight ass with all the rules? That's who doesn't. Oh. You're going to just follow that person. It doesn't matter what side they're on. They're easier to lampoon.
Then my entire youth was anyone who wrote a letter to a radio station with some uptight, religious, conservative golfing guy. He golfed and she had her hair in a bun and her panties were in a pucker. And it was easy. It was like uptight, religious right has a problem with what this person is saying and wants them. And now somehow that mantle's been taken over by the progressive left, which is weird since they were the ones who were most vocal against that the entire time. But look, I think it all boils down to this. You are not allowed to base all of your thoughts and your policies on whose team is doing what. Either free speech is good, and it's good from that side, and it's good from that side. McCarthyism is bad. It's bad on that side. It's bad. You're not allowed to just pick and choose things that, you know, if you're the star running back on, you know, your team's, you know, let's see, USC hates UCLA. If the star running back on UCLA punches out his girlfriend and you condemn it, then, and you want him suspended for the big game, then if your guy does it, you must condemn it and want him. You can't then look the other way just because it's your guy doing it. This is the big problem. We just need to be intellectually honest and consistent. That's all. You can still have a favorite team. You just have to apply the rules in a consistent fashion.
Yeah, and that's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is such a good target for satire, you know, and that's why we can make fun of ourselves a lot, too, because there's definitely people on the right who are, you know, hypocrites, or they come off that way.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's plenty for everybody.
There's plenty, to target everybody.
You guys got suspended from Twitter for a while.
Yeah, we're still locked out of Twitter. So we did a joke where we said Rachel Levine is our man of the year after Rachel Levine was given the Woman of the Year award by USA Today. And they locked us out for hateful conduct.
Yeah, so everyone know Rachel Levine.
Who's that?
She is the poster child for 2022.
Was she on Jeopardy, or is that a different?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. Hmm? No, that was someone else. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Secretary for Health. Oh.
Secretary for Health. Transgender.
Okay.
Yeah. Some people make the transition a little more smoothly than others.
Oh.
Hers had a few bumps in the road. Mm. Chris will, you got to get the uniform picture. But I posed it on stage. And you can find the two pictures, Chris. I'll redo my joke. I think when I was in New York, I said, there's Rachel Levine and there's Avril Levine. Chris will, we got them somewhere in the computer somewhere. Chris will find.
Yeah, we didn't do it here in studio. That's
yeah.
What I'm trying to
buy you. I'll buy you a second. Rachel Levine is the transgendered secretary for health. Who she actually was awesome because we made her the secretary for health, but then she's also accused of pulling her mom out of she. I don't know where she's from, what state, but she was doing health there and said
Massachusetts.
Nobody's going to these health old folks homes or whatever, but everyone's locking down over, but pulled her mom out because she's like, I don't want my mom there. Right. The rest of you can hang out there. So that's awesome. But she was probably got the nod because of the diversity and the transgender, whatever, which is, I don't care if you're doing football coaches, airline pilots, or your staffing administration. Doing it based on the person's proclivities sexually or whether they've transgendered or not or whatever their ancestry is, it's a good way to fuck everything up because you're not getting the best people.
Also,
So there's –
Admiral Levine.
She's that's what Admiral. That she is, yeah. Admiral Levine. I heard somebody say like Admiral Levine, and I out of Simon, I was like, she's hot, and someone went, no, she is not, and then I realized,
well, the young Canadian ingenue.
Would I you? See.
That's funny.
Avril Lavigne is hot, and I love her. Now here's the question: do we spin the wheel?
No, I can't risk that at 50%. No.
All right. What about during your fattest, baldingest, poorest days when you were 20 years old?
Hello, love line.
Driving around long bed Chevy.
Yeah, short cab, S10.
S10 no pickup
AC,
truck.
No AC, crank windows.
With the bench seat.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And no headrest, just glass.
And Avril Lavigne at the height of her powers.
I would have been right around that time.
Do you spin that wheel?
Fuck.
You get to make sweet love to whoever that wheel lands on. Do you spin that wheel? I first off, when I was 19 or 20, I don't think I could live with myself if I didn't spin the wheel.
You have to
I would walk around just cursed. Sure. You know what I mean? Just head up in the clouds. What could have been?
Mom had already cursed me enough.
Every time an Avril Lavigne video came on, I'd be like,
the one that could have gotten away.
Should have taken that chance.
Yeah.
Kyle, would you spin the wheel?
Sure. Yeah.
You would?
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that. Who?
I'm not 100% sure what the wheel is, but
the wheel, on one side of it is Admiral Lavigne, transgender, a grand poobah, in uniform. And on the other side is Avril Lavigne, and you make sweet love to whoever lands on.
I would pass on that wheel.
You
spin.
Would?
Yeah.
That's what I. All right. I can't take
a
chance.
I guess I respect that. Let's talk. How about a 60-40 split in your favor?
No, still that's
long,
not going to
happen. As long as it's negotiable. If it's 70-30, I'll spin that wheel.
I wish. Let me check with my manager.
Go to producers.
Hey, you say 70-30. I'll spin it right now.
The best
cash offer.
The best we can do is a 63-37 split.
Yeah, you got to do better than that.
I can talk to my manager again, but he was pretty resolute. I don't know. Is Art at lunch?
67-33, final. Best in final.
Let me talk to my manager again. Dawson, where are you at?
When I gamble, I lose. And 50-50, no way. It had to be at least 80-20 to me.
80-20? I knew your terms would be unreasonable, Dawson.
I go 80-20. That seems reasonable.
That's unreasonable.
I'm giving a lot for 67-33.
Yeah, I can't do
that.
This
is not today's primo successful, Dawson. This is 20-year-old, 19-year-old Dawson.
Just fell off a skateboard, can't smell shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think even 20-year-old me. With like a little better odds.
You want an 80-20?
I want an 80-20 split.
Let me talk to my manager. Yeah. This is going to be a tough sell.
He's going to hit the roof.
I don't think I can get this done.
And, oh, God, as soon as that wheel would spin, I would go, what have I done? Yeah. What have I done?
That 4.5 seconds while it's spinning is poor.
Kyle, what can we put you down for?
Yeah, you know, I was married at 19, so.
Well, you can't factor. Yeah, cannot.
That's
you
know, hero
free,
there.
Single, atheist Kyle. Yeah. What do we do?
If I was atheist, sure, yeah.
You go 50-50?
Sure, yeah.
Oh.
I do, because nothing matters at that point.
Yeah, nothing matters. There's
nihilism.
There's no hell.
Totally different.
Chris, what do we put you down for?
I'll do 51-49.
Wow. Oh, you just want
the gambling
that.
Man.
Yeah, the house edge. That's better than house edge, I think. So I'll take it.
It's like playing the cum line.
I got to keep it at 50-50, bro. The wheel's already been drawn. I can't be fudging around with the tape. You know what I mean?
Are you willing to walk away? Either of you willing to walk away over 1%?
I would at 19, 20. Look, I would have packed a kilo of heroin up my ass and walked through the Mexican border at 19 for $80. Like I would have done anything. I'm going 50-50. Okay.
Yeah, man of your word.
You got a coin? Does anyone have a coin? Because we can fix this right now.
Porn stars,
the vixen card.
Here we go.
Wait a minute. You can't do that. We got to find a coin and we got to do everyone. I'm going to go 50-50. We'll say if we won or lost. This is the only scientific way to approach this.
This is your definition of winning.
Gina is going into her pocketbook. She's got a coin. She wrote her initials on it. God, you Jews. It's insane. Your relationship with money is insane.
Kyle, you're a religious man. What's worse, Jewish or atheist?
That's a good question.
You like us, right? We all like Jerusalem.
Yeah, of course.
All right, so Chris.
Love the Jews.
Let's just put you down for 50-50.
Sure.
I'll let you call it.
Here's your
penny.
I don't carry cash.
You don't trust me with it.
What is that doing you?
All right, what do you got, Chris?
I'll take heads.
Take heads?
Yeah, you will.
Tails.
Oh, boy.
You're with the Admiral.
Okay.
All right, Dawson, you're down at 50-50. What do you take?
50-50? I'm going to go heads again.
Heads? Heads.
Everil, here I come.
That's right.
Skater boy said see you later,
Brian.
Boy.
Tails never fails.
All right, 50-50. Tails it is. Kyle, 50-50.
This is not complicated.
Go heads. All right. Let's hope it's that way in more way than one. Heads.
Oh, boy.
Now the ace man.
Oh, no.
God, it all comes down to this.
You guys need to see a picture of Admiral Levine to really appreciate what I'm going through right now.
Don't they say that heads is slightly heavier, so it's more likely to land down?
I've heard a lot of theories.
But we just proved that tails works.
I've always been a tails man. I'm going tails. Hell! Oh. Devastation!
Me and you, Adam.
All right, I'm going first. I don't like sloppy admirals. All right, comedian Eleanor Kerrigan is going to join us. Kyle Mann, the BabylonBee.com is where you go. I'm flipping the coin with Eleanor. Oh, yeah.
Oh, good for her.
Play the, and you too, Gina.
Okay.
I'm going lesbian.
Okay. Right,
wait a minute. Yeah.
Well.
I don't know if he still has his junk or her.
Right.
Yeah, all right, we're good. All right, we'll do that right after this.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV, all for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.